What's going on, Clipper Nation? Happy Friday.
We made it.
I've made it through another week. It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, your local experts, if you want to call us that.
Some
coming
call
at you
that.
5 days a week with NBA news from the Clippers perspective.
Oh, yeah. All Clippers all the time, baby.
Yeah. Extremely unbiased.
Oh, yes.
Completely objective.
Welcome to all the new members of Clipper Nation, if that's what the hashtag is going to be next year.
Yeah, maybe something new.
I think it will be because now if you put Clipper Nation, hashtag Clipper Nation, the Clippers logo is not next to it.
Doesn't pop up anymore. Yeah. So
sources tell me.
Maybe we are.
Hashtag.
Maybe we're going to take my hashtag idea of clap back Clippers.
That would be nice.
We'll clap them back. Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's Friday, which means we got our weekly segment for you. Love, marry, kill.
We got a good one today.
This
is an Updike special.
We're going to be love, marry, and killing some fake gossip headlines for the 19 or 20 Clippers. We're going to kick things off today with a little bit of news about a former Clipper. Great.
Yeah.
Former Clipper great Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Big trade went down there with OKC and the Rockets. We're going to give some reactions on that. We've got some reactions on former Clipper awful Avery Bradley.
Yeah,
gonna talk about that. He's had some massive weight loss, so we're gonna talk about fitness regimen. And then we're gonna be talking a little bit about summer league. And yeah, that's about all we got for you today.
Yeah, want to kick things off with a quick happy birthday to Patrick Beverley.
Hey,
Clipper Nation Zone. What would you give? He's the heart and soul of this team. He embodies everything that new Clippers fandom is, I guess.
Yeah.
What would you get Patrick Beverley for his birthday if you were invited to his party today? Which we are not.
Oh, yeah. We are definitely not invited. I don't know. I would guess I would get him like a... I would get him like a 50 Cent era bulletproof vest, mainly because I think it'd be a very funny fit for him to walk into the tunnel with.
That's a good call. I would get him one canned beer. That was ice cold.
He does like an ice cold beer.
Ice cold beer. No glass, just a can. He can open it himself, just enjoy it.
I would also maybe get him one of those. You know those like punching bags that are shaped like a man?
Yeah. The really angry dude with the crew cut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would get one of those for him and he could just put it in random places out of it in his house and just box out on it.
That's good.
Not like with his fist. Like he's like
boxing out.
Yeah.
Those are good gifts. Shout out to Patrick
Not that he
Beverley.
Needs the practice. I just feel like it's something he'd be amped for.
Yeah. Shout out to Patrick Beverley, 31 years old.
Open the fridge, see a man there, box
punch
him out.
Him. We got, some more former Clippers news. Avery Bradley, who, if you will remember from last year, played 29.9 minutes a game, averaged a cool 8-4-2, and shot 38% from the field.
You may know him by his nickname, Poison.
Poison.
Didn't make that up. Check Basketball Reference.
Yeah. Has claimed that his game, that the Lakers-Clippers game is circled on his calendar. What is this guy's problem? Is he just mad at the fans? He can't be mad at Doc. Doc defended him vehemently to the media constantly while AB was here.
Yeah.
He would ask media members like, oh, so you think you know defense? Like, he would like get incredulous.
Yeah.
Defending Avery Bradley.
Yeah. It's a little bizarre.
30 minutes a game, man. Show us what you can do then.
Yeah.
Like...
For sure. So I will say, I guess on the fan front, it was a little bit unfair maybe to direct all the hate at Bradley because, you know, he didn't choose to be played 30 minutes. I can't even say this with a straight face. The fan base tends not to like you if you have heavy minutes and also suck.
Yes. And you took away from Shea, which wasn't his fault. Obviously, that was more Doc's thing. It was reported, too, that Avery Bradley has lost 40 pounds.
From where?
Since the offseason started.
No, from where?
From
on his body?
On his body? Dude, I have no idea.
Can you cut out a couple bones?
Justin Russo at Fly By Night had a tweet that said, Avery Bradley's listed 180 pounds. So take gamesmanship into play. Let's say he really weighs $190, $195.
I would say if he's listed at 180, he could weigh anywhere between 180 and 200 pounds.
Yes, so let's say he weighs 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Now he weighs 160 pounds. Now he weighs as much as I do and is 1 inch shorter.
So that's not going to help defense, I feel like, at all.
I don't think so.
Other than maybe he'll be a little bit quicker laterally.
Dude needs to eat.
I don't know. Maybe he did that lie thing that everyone talked about Marilyn Manson doing, like removing some ribs.
I think that's exactly what
I mean, that would cut, you know. How much does a rib weigh? 20 pounds?
50 pounds? We're doctors here. Okay, let's get into some actual basketball analysis. There was a giant trade yesterday that sent shockwaves through the NBA.
I mean, yeah, it was very it was very surprising.
As of now, Chris Paul is on the Thunder, which is not going to be for very much longer, I don't think.
I don't know, man. I don't know what you're getting for Chris Paul.
They said their goal was to trade into Miami so he never has to even put the Thunder jersey on, as reported by Woj.
Wow.
Which is, okay, shout out to the Thunder for doing that? I don't know. And then Westbrook goes to the Rockets.
Yes.
There were no other players involved. There was a bunch of picks, but...
A lot of picks.
How do these... So first of all, seems like the Rockets are better off than the Thunder right now after this trade.
Right? Short term... Yes.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, you know, I feel like we've been talking about this for like the last couple seasons, but the Rockets are all in on right now. And after that, you know, James Harden is 30. So I would say they have a, you know, a 2 to 3 year window.
Yeah.
Which we keep referring to as like maybe the maximum size for windows nowadays. And then after they are in a lot worse shape than other teams.
Than the Thunder.
I mean, then the Thunder for sure.
Yeah, long term, definitely. So how do OKC? I think we can obviously kind of eliminate from championship contention.
Yes.
So I don't think it really matters in terms of how we match up with them. Or I think we match up with them well. You know, I just top to bottom, if they do end up trading CP3 to Miami, top to bottom our roster is better. And if they don't, top to bottom our roster is still better.
Yeah,
right? They're not much of a threat to knock us off.
OKC, no, not at all. With the roster that they currently have, I feel like if they made one more move, they could maybe eke their way into the playoffs.
Because we were talking
Chris Paul,
about it.
Gallo,
Steven Adams,
and having Shea.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not insane to me. That's not an awful lineup by any stretch of the mind.
That starting lineup is just slow as hell, though. If Chris Paul's starting,
yeah,
Steven Adams, Gallo, and Chris Paul, like. They're not getting up and down the court quickly. Steven Adams, quicker than the other two, I would probably guess.
I would say Gallo quicker, too.
Maybe.
And if you have Shea in there, that lineup's can play a little bit faster.
Yeah. But the Rockets I'm more worried about this year specifically, and I guess next year, too.
As they match up to the Clippers.
Yes, for sure. They got a good, you know, Capella matches up well with Zoo.
Yeah, we don't really have somebody who's would be great at defending him.
Their backcourt is... Obviously
I think Trez
nasty.
Could bully him, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Trez can do a pretty good job. It's like the same kind of like Patrick Beverley thing where like, dude, if someone's picking at you all game, it's going to wear you down.
And the backcourt is tough. Backcourt, they have us beat.
Yeah. Oh, backcourt, they have us beat. But I think that what we've seen in the playoffs, with the exception of the Warriors, because that's like a freak and out, like that's like kind of a freak outlier, plus they still had Durant, is that it's really hard for teams whose top level talent like isn't spread across positions. It's just kind of focused in the backcourt.
Yeah.
I feel like those teams have a little bit more difficult of a time because a lot of times those guards tend to be a little bit smaller. Not so much the case with Westbrook.
No. And, yeah, they're big, dude.
And Harden, but you know, they have trouble like switching to be a little bit more versatile defensively, which both of these players could be, you know, Harden has gotten a lot better at post defense.
Way better.
Westbrook takes defensive plays off. Like, I think there's no way around saying that.
Yeah, that's true.
But I do think that because of his size and quickness, you know, he could be at least a net neutral defender.
And he might be, this is the other thing, he might be rejuvenated now that him and Harden are back together. There's that factor of they both started playing basketball at the same time at the same
couple
boys and
LA
girls club
dudes,
together, a couple
you know?
LA dudes. We can't factor in that.
A couple LA dudes sipping out in Houston.
Exactly. We can't factor in that kind of nostalgia, rejuvenation, happy to be together type thing again.
Yeah, I also think, I mean, a lot of people were kind of bashing this trade from the Rockets side, and they just didn't get any worse.
Like, my thing is like, is Daryl Morey losing his mind? Yes. Does he care? Absolutely not.
I mean...
Is he going to do everything that he thinks in his powers to win? Yes, and that's awesome. That's what you want from a GM.
Yes.
They've
put themselves in this very specific position, and there's not a whole lot of moves you can really make out of it.
Yeah.
You know? When you have two or three big contracts, you're pretty hamstringed in what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been good... You haven't been getting good picks.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's not really a clear path to development. I think that this move is overall a net positive. Does it put them over the hump into a Western Conference Finals or a Finals appearance? Certainly not a Finals appearance from my standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Western Conference, I mean, who knows, man? Playoffs are crazy.
Yeah, I do. I think, the playoffs is where it's going to get interesting. And I'm not too... I don't know. I think I'm more worried about the Rockets now than I was before the trade.
Oh, definitely.
Just
yeah.
because it's just
more
such a
worried
wild
about
card.
The Rockets. I don't know. We still haven't seen either of these teams hit the floor.
Yeah, or the Lakers or the Jazz. It's just like there's so many.
But looking at these teams on paper, I probably wouldn't take the Rockets. I definitely wouldn't take the Rockets over the Clippers in a 7-game series.
No.
Lakers, a healthy Lakers with their current lineup, I probably wouldn't take the Rockets over them. And I think that the Jazz has a little bit more depth and bit more versatility. But they would be probably right under that.
That's fair. How many?
Am I missing anybody?
I don't.
Denver Nuggets, would maybe be hard.
Yeah. How many games is the one seed in the West gonna win this year?
How hard the conference is, it just depends on how dominant the team is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I could see everybody being so close that like
57. Everyone.
The difference from top to from 1 to 8 is like 50 games to 55 games.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You know what I
mean? It might be the tightest Western Conference. So how many games?
Clippers? Or 48 games to 55 games, something like that.
So yeah. Clippers got to win to be the number one seed. Clippers would have to win. What do you think? 60. And that would be a firm number one seed, I think, in this Western Conference. 60 in this Western Conference. The Suns even got better, which we'll talk about in the Pac-12 rankings.
Man, 50. 60 games sounds so hard.
For sure.
60 games sounds just really
damn hard.
It's
either 60 or, I think you're right, like 55.
Yeah.
Which is still a lot.
It's a lot. That's a lot.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the records shake out this year. We've kind of pegged the Clippers, as most people have, I think, feeling comfortable, not expecting 55 wins, but thinking we can get 55 wins.
55 wins is the floor.
Ceiling, 72.
Yes.
It's always the ceiling. Coming up, let us know how many wins you think the Clippers are going to get. Also, let us know what you think about Avery Bradley's diet regimen.
Yeah. What is he eating now?
Dude, I don't know. You know what he should do, though, because he's so skinny.
Get a new belt.
Get a damn new belt.
None of your pants are going to fit.
None of those pants fit.
And the problem with belts is a lot of times they're so flimsy.
They are flimsy. He needs to check out Grip 6 belts.
Absolutely.
Indestructible. They'll keep your pants up.
Could save your life.
Grip 6 belts. So we got some summer league updates.
Yeah, what do we got?
The Clippers defeated the Sacramento Kings last night, 83-80.
Ooh.
Amir Coffey hit the game-sealing shot, then snagged the game-sealing defensive rebound to add to his, I would say, pleasantly surprising summer league campaign.
Yeah.
The dude looks...
That's a cafe au lait.
The dude looks really good.
Yeah.
For where we got him, like, I'm psyched on his contract. He finished the whole... It's a cafe au lait. God damn it. He finished with 19-9-6 on 50% from the field while still only going 1-of-5 from 3. So the three-point shooting is not very good. But everything else was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those are solid numbers. Once again, Summer League, I have no idea how to contextualize these numbers.
Not at all.
Ever.
But they look good on paper.
They do.
Terrence Mann did not play, which you had an interesting nugget about.
I think given the contract that he signed and the fact that they're kind of winding him down in Summer League, it seems like, is this guy poised to play?
Do you think he's going to usurp Jerome's spot?
All right, well, let's finish let's finish our Terrence Mann stuff, and we'll wrap up the summer league thing with a little bit of Jerome talk.
So no Terrence Mann, he was there supporting, which was nice. Kaiser Gates, who was
nephew
someone,
of Kevin Gates,
really?
No.
Oh, I was like, dude, that's crazy. I'm an idiot. This was really impressive. 11-7, 4-of-8 shooting, 3-from-6 from 3 from a power forward. Not bad.
Not bad.
Was this like the most? This was a kind of a weirdly entertaining summer league team we had. Kevin Gelly, excuse me. 15 points. This is such an interesting line. 3-of-13 shooting, 1-of-4 from 3. But you know what superstars do? They make up for it at the line, baby. 8-of-10 from the line, plus 9 boards, and a very chill summer league 7 fouls.
Do you not foul out?
I think 8, because David Mischino had 7 too. It's so stupid. Just give him the normal number. Why is the only thing different in summer league the number of fouls?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Like the shot clock, 48 seconds? Anyway.
No shot clock.
Jerome finished 10-3, 5 turnovers, 4-of-13 shooting, 2-of-5 from 3. I tweeted this out to Clipper Nation. This was just a question.
What do you got?
I was asking, at the end of this year, if Jerome hasn't put it together, however you want to say it, you know, gotten more starting time or time with the actual Clippers. Do we see this as one of the few miscues by the front office in terms of where he was drafted? This is not to say anything bad about Jerome playing, because we will. He has a lot of factors going against him.
He really does.
Yeah. Guard surplus was huge.
He was sick in summer league.
He was sick in summer league. He had a guard surplus when he got on the team.
He is 21, so yes. I mean, dude might be partying. Who knows?
Dude might be partying. The team overachieved, so getting him minutes last year was really hard.
Yes.
And summer league isn't indicative, obviously, of how our player is going to end up. But it just seems, you know, a lot of these other guys that we've watched this summer league maybe look a little more comfortable out there.
Yeah, I think the thing that I guess is a little bit troubling is I had hoped that Jerome would be a little bit more comfortable taking the helm as more of a playmaker and ball handler. And
not just, completely, obviously, but just a little bit.
Being able to add that as a facet of his game. And I just feel like we've seen Man just look so much more comfortable in that position.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just summer league. You know, maybe Jerome is conserving energy. Maybe he really hasn't been feeling well.
Sickness thing, I'm trying to remember that and let that sink in. This is not an anti-Jerome segment at all.
No, there's definitely a lot of factors. I think even at the end of the season, it would be way too early to call him a bust, just depending on the amount of minutes that he gets played. You know, I think we knew he was going to be a developmental piece.
For sure.
We knocked it out of the park with Shea one pick earlier. We essentially drafted Shamet, in my mind.
Yeah,
you know
definitely.
What I mean? And that one hit.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can expect, let's say you get three draft picks. That's all that we had last year, right?
Yeah.
You get three draft picks and you hit on two out of three of them.
That's good.
Could you ask for much better? And then if Jerome can end up being a serviceable player, that's just an added bonus. I think that it might take a longer time just given, I mean, this team is radically different than when he was drafted.
Yeah, and we're stronger. Which is even crazier from last year. So that's what I was talking with some people online, and everyone was kind of saying, like, yeah, I want him to get more minutes. And I was like, I want him to get more minutes too. Where are they?
Yeah. So I'm curious to see, like, once we get into preseason, I'm curious, you know, to see some team workout videos.
Some team dinner deets, dude.
Yeah. Who's paying for dinner now? Just a quick aside, who's paying for dinner now? Gallo was footing the bill. Gallo was organizing his dinners. The man loves food.
It's Kawhi.
You think so?
It's Kawhi, and he's doing that classic move where you excuse yourself because you have to go to the bathroom about 20 minutes into the dinner. You go over to the host stand, you say, excuse me, here's my card. When that table is done, I would like to take care of the check.
Where does Kawhi take the team out to dinner?
I don't know. His house.
But he's not footing the bill.
He's got to pay for all the food they're going to eat. Where do you think the food comes
catered.
From?
Yeah. It's a catered event at
or
his
a barbecue.
House. It's a catered event at his house. People can look at some of his abstract paintings that he does in his off time. I would like to see it at the Pacific Dining Car, which, if you haven't ever been...
Oh, lovely.
It's an L.A. staple in MacArthur Park. It makes no sense. It's like a surreal dream. It's open 24 hours a day.
That'd be tight.
Highly recommended.
But I hope Jerome can go to those dinners. I don't think
he's going to be at the dinners, I would hope.
I don't even think, like, even if he doesn't turn out as good, I don't even think it's fair to call him a bust.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously way further down the line. Because I think bust implies, like, because the pick came out of nowhere. So I think one of the reasons some of the heat isn't quite from outside news outlets,
mm-hmm.
I think the reason some of the heat isn't really on the Clippers is because, A, all the picks after him didn't exactly crush.
Shamet is, like, the biggest one that I can think of.
Yeah, but he was a second round guy. So it's one of those things where that's almost an outlier.
Yes, yeah.
And then a lot of people, so I think because it was such a left field pick,
it's a little bit more highly scrutinized, for sure.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, though, is, you know, these guys get a four-year contract as rookies. I mean, I guess you have team options on the third and fourth year. But the standard contract is 4 years for a freaking reason. It's because it takes a while to develop a young guy.
For sure.
And obviously, he's a little bit older. But, I don't know, he looks like he's been working on his body. I'm sure he's been improving facets of his game. Really, my only criticism is I just want to see him, like... full of confidence. That's it.
I want to see
him confidently shooting. I want to see him confidently, like, carrying the ball.
I want to see him dominate. I want to see him maybe not quite as how much Delgado dominated for his position in the G League last year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him be one of those guys in the G League who it's like, how is this guy still in the G League?
Yeah.
How is he still down there?
You think he's still in the G League this year?
I think if Man is going to get minutes, I'm not sure where Jerome fits.
Man.
No, this and this is
I think that would be a huge blow to his confidence, which is already
agreed.
Which is already pretty rocked. It must have been really hard though.
We're pro Jerome on this pod, but it's like he's in a rough situation right now.
The other thing that you have to consider is how hard it must be for your confidence to go from, you know, being the man at Boston College. Obviously, you know your role is going to change in the NBA, but the guy that was drafted one pick above you just
is Shea
growing so fast.
Yeah. And then
I would just like to, I guess the biggest thing is it just seems like he's thinking too damn much out there.
Yeah.
Just stop thinking. Just do.
Let it bang.
Just go.
Huge shout out to Jerome Robinson. We hope you have a fantastic year. We are obviously going to be monitoring your progress.
Dude's
going to
pop.
Dude's got to pop. Coming up next, we're talking some Pac-Div rankings and the first, not the first Love, Marry, Kill, but the first one of the newly crowned 5 days a week situation. But first, I want to give a shout out to Hotels.com. Will, I'm going to Borneo next month.
Okay. Where the hell is that?
It's over there. Where can I find a freaking hotel room?
Well, you know, you could learn a little bit of the local language. Try to maybe settle in for a B&B or a hostel.
I don't want to do the hostel because I don't want my inside stolen.
Oh, okay. Then your safest bet is probably hotels.com.
I will check out hotels.com. Check out hotels.com if you're looking for a place to stay. It's got four walls, a roof.
It's the place you can find the place to stay.
Nailed it.
All right, so Pacific Division power rankings. Next Friday, we'll do a little bit more in-depth analysis on all this, maybe even throughout the week. But
we do these every Friday.
This is going to be rough and raw. We haven't really written a whole lot down.
Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's very serious.
Yeah.
Should we start from the bottom?
This is just going to be our general thoughts on the Pacific Division as it stands. Yeah, what do you got, man?
Bottom, our Suns.
Our poor
firstborn son. They did get better. That's not to say they did not get better. They have a better team than last year.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Rubio with Booker.
Saric.
Saric is a good piece. Like, you know, he's the kind of guy that the
Oubre,
Suns.
Like, they have a fun team to watch.
Yeah, so let's say the starting five is Rubio. Assume the starting five is Rubio, Booker, Oubre, Saric, Ayton.
That's a fun team.
That's not a bad lineup.
No.
I like...
Just sucks you're in the Pacific Division and the Western Conference.
I like the veteran presence of both Saric, who's not like a vet, an old, old vet, but...
Dude, in the new NBA, he basically is.
He's a rookie and a vet.
You've either played 15 years or three
in
the current NBA.
And then Rubio, I mean, I know that he's been bounced around a lot of teams. I refuse to believe that he's not a great teammate.
Well, he has to be.
I know the shooting has just been like the biggest woe.
Yeah.
But he has Devin Booker now.
Yeah, he got Devin Booker. So Suns at the bottom.
Suns are still firmly at the bottom.
All right, let's do our second to last. Say it at the same time. One, two, three, Kings. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, would you believe it, guys? We didn't even practice this.
And
this is not to say, again, that they did not get better.
I was going
to
say, do you think the Kings got better or worse?
I think they did. A lot of it hinges on Luke.
I was going to say, the only thing I think I could argue maybe got worse is I think it was a mistake to have fired your coach after overachieving and being they were the 9 seed, right?
Yeah. They were pretty damn close. They did. The wheels really came off at the end, but they were fighting.
Two games away. Yeah. Harrison Barnes deal, I know people feel mixed about.
It's a good deal for them. All he's going to do is defend and shoot threes.
You're in a tough situation where you're probably not getting a big free agent.
Yeah.
What was the last big free agent that came to the Kings?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
If you know, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think about the Kings. I do think that if Harrison Barnes can step up his defense, it will elevate both the floor and the ceiling of this team.
There you go. All right. Third one. Same time.
Third from the bottom is...
One, two, three. Lakers. Dude, wow.
We're really in sync
today, dude. What are we, an improv team?
Okay, so...
This one is just, I don't know what's going to happen.
Here's my thing.
I don't know what's going to happen with them.
In the two spot, I feel like the Warriors got better, and you got to give them the benefit of the doubt as the almost champs.
And Steph Curry, I think, could be on a revenge tour this year.
Yes, and they will have Klay back before the end of the season, most likely.
Yeah.
So anyways, looking at the Lakers, they got better than last year.
Damn straight.
They have the talent at the top is really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, really good.
Plus 150-pound Avery Bradley.
Yeah. adding Avery Bradley.
Slipping in between keyholes to get through doors. You
I
know?
Think Avery Bradley will look better on the Lakers than he did on the Clippers.
Maybe because the color scheme's better. He's still going to be garbage.
Yeah, maybe his defense will improve, which would just be the biggest
now
thing.
Now that he weighs 150 pounds?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
He averaged 2 assists for the Clippers in 30 minutes. I'm just like, he can't guard ones.
What are you assuming the starting lineup is?
Rondo.
Okay. Over Caruso?
Yeah.
All right.
Rondo, Danny Green, KCP?
Yeah.
KCP? No, that was actually debunked. They said they were going to run LeBron at the point, and then Frank Vogel did an interview and was like, we've never said that. And he also already is a point forward.
It makes no dang sense.
So it's going to be Rondo, KCP, let's call it, I don't know, LeBron? LeBron, AD, Boogie.
And Kuz is coming off the bench now.
I think so.
I mean, that makes that bench unit a lot stronger.
Yeah, maybe. Because if Kuz is your one offensive weapon on the bench unit, he's a volume shooter who's not efficient.
You're overlooking Caruso, baby.
Hey, well, I got nothing but love for Alex Caruso. Don't get it twisted, as our good friend Ryan Shoemaker would say. But if he's your number one option off the bench, that seems bad. Because our bench is better than theirs, and it's going to be like, oh, that guy's going to shoot 30% a bunch. Do your thing.
Yeah, defensively, that lineup, that second unit is a little shaky. Defensively, that first unit is a little shaky.
We'll see. LeBron might have flipped the switch back. AD's great on defense.
Yeah.
Boogie, he's going to have to cover a lot, though. Rondo, not great on defense.
Unless not anymore.
The Clippers. Yeah. All right, so number two, 1, 2, 3, Warriors. Yeah. For reasons we've already said, they're the Warriors. I got Steph. It's just, you know.
There's so much continuity with the team. It's a bummer that Iggy is gone and Livingston is gone. Shout out Sean Livingston. I hope somebody picks him up. I hope it's not the Clippers, yes, but I hope somebody picks him up.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's, and then number one, the Clips.
Clips, yeah.
We know why. We're 10 deep, baby.
I just can't think of a bad lineup that we have.
Is it crazy to think that 4 teams from the Pacific Division might make the playoffs?
Not at all.
It's a good-ass division.
It is.
Is there a bad division? I don't think so. All right, should we get into this Love, Marry, Kill?
Let's do a little Love, Marry, Kill.
So for you new listeners, every Friday we pick maybe a wacky topic, maybe a serious topic.
Oh, yeah.
We got 3 options, and we're loving, marrying, or killing them. This week, we have an Updike special.
Yeah.
Fake gossip headlines for next year's Clippers team. Here we go.
What do we got? What's on the board?
First one. Lakers fans seen TPing Paul George's car in an attempt to frame Doc Rivers' daughter. The police have notified their parents.
All right.
Jerry West, shocker. Current Clippers consultant reveals his secret to a happy life. Never drinking water.
Ooh, I love it.
Domo arigato, Mr. Kawhio. Clippers star seen getting his circuits upgraded at Best Buy.
That's great.
Those are the three. Do you have any extra ones you want to add? One of your go-tos is adding extra things to Love, Marry, Kill, which I do respect.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw up on the board, out of this world, Paul George now believes in aliens.
Okay, I like that one.
He could have spotted something. Dude's seen some stuff.
He's from Palmdale, bro.
He's been out there in the desert.
Things happen, dude.
He's at one with the earth. That's a good one. He knows when things are not of this earth.
All right, you want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
You go first.
I am loving Domo Arigato, Mr. Kawhio.
Yeah.
Because that does seem like a National Enquirer thing.
It does.
Why does Kawhi have this outline of a square on his back?
Yeah.
Like, maybe there's circuit boards or anything there.
I'm going to agree with the love on this one, and I'm going to co-tie Paul George with the aliens.
Okay.
I think people who live in the desert have a closer relationship with aliens. And
Sasquatch.
Yeah, go ahead and get at us on Twitter if you're from the desert and you don't believe in aliens.
We'd like to see what your ostracized life is like.
I think you should open your third eye.
Yeah. I am marrying Jerry West, shocker, current Clippers consultant, reveals the secret to a happy life, never drinking water.
Absolutely. There's going to be, I'm also marrying this, there's going to be some sort of book that comes out. Hopefully I get to ghostwrite it. It'll be called Trust the Fucking Logo.
It's just life advice.
And it's just Jerry's life advice.
That's so funny.
And it's insane.
Number one, don't drink water.
Don't drink water.
Number two, you never have to wash your socks. Number three, vegetables actually bad for you, bad for the environment as a whole.
Number four, sleeping is a waste of time.
Sleeping is a waste of time. Number five, shoelaces are a scam.
Never wash your car.
Number six, always match your hat to your polo shirt. That's more of his 2000s rap vibe when he was giving that piece of advice out. And then I think I have to kill the Lakers fan seen TPing Paul George's car in an attempt to frame Doc Rivers' daughter. Their parents, the police notified their parents.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with that.
That one's funny to me.
Man, we're in sync today.
That one's funny to me because it's like teenagers.
Yeah.
It's those kids who are at the protest.
Yeah, it's funny to me too. It's just so...
ass-ist.
It's so far removed. I think that incident is so far removed that, you know, I don't know why people are pouring salt in old wounds.
You know, let those wounds...
People's private life, you know, is maybe their private life.
Hey, man, you're preaching to the choir here, bro. That about wraps it up. That does wrap it up for our Friday extravaganza. We hope everyone has a wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
If you're grilling this weekend and you need a shirt to look stylish.
Untucked shirts.
Untucked shirts, baby. Shirtless grilling. Maybe you just have...
How are you shirtless? You're wearing an untucked shirt.
You got the shirt over your shoulder. You just whipped it off because the grill got a little too hot, but you still got to man that thing.
Maybe you just kind of tie it around your neck and mouth like a balaclava to keep smoke out of your airways.
That's
and
exactly.
And to, you know, wick the sweat off your neck.
And it looks way better because it's meant to be untucked. Also, check us out on the Himalaya app.
Yeah.
We're popping.
Yeah.
Kind of trying to be.
Summit that mountain. Summit
that mountain. Please, all the new listeners, thank you guys so much. Let us know if you want any segment ideas. Get at us. We're active on Twitter at Will Updike, at Charles Mackerel, at Locked On Clips.
Also, please, if you're on iTunes, we'd love your subscription.
Yes.
We'd love a review. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like.
Shout out to the person who reviewed it. They gave us a 4-star review. They said 5-star content, but they wish the mics were better. We got new mics, so we appreciate the...
Not new mics. We just fixed our old shitty mics, we think.
We fixed them. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Monday, we're going to be looking at the new guys on...
The Freshies.
So fresh.
It's fresh.
And given what... the current state of the NBA is, we might discuss a giant trade between now and Monday.
Yeah, there could be more Chris Paul news.
Here's an interesting note.
What do you got?
Jermichael Green and Patrick Beverley not officially announced by the Clippers yet.
Hmm.
Something to sit on this weekend. Is it nothing? Probably.
Probably nothing.
I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
I've been William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening.